Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The holidays are over with, so we got a long, miserable year ahead. No! This is entitled, It's Going to Be a Great Year. Of course, it is. Why not? That's a great way to look at, move into it. So 2 Corinthians 9:15 is where we're going to start, because it's going to be a great year. Of course, you have to make it that way, but God already has it out there for you. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift," or his indescribable gift. Could you describe to me, Holy Spirit? It would be difficult to get to the complexities of the depths of everything, but we do know it's in us, and it's a communication tool with God, and but to go through, it's just indescribable what it can do and what it does and everything about it, because your body is getting healed faster than the world because of that gift inside of you. So there's so many wonderful, incredible things. So you know what we're supposed to do? Thanks be unto God. So this is a thank you, thank you, thank you. God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so we have an indescribable gift. So we can be real thankful for that gift. Look at chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4. And we're going to go to verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Even though we may be so cool and got so together, and we've just got all, no, it's of God. If we keep it in perspective, as the manifestation said, much more and many greater things happen when we recognize our place in the equation. We have a treasure, an indescribable gift, the gift of Holy Spirit that is in us. It's in us, and these clay earthen vessels are wearing. But the excellency of the power is of God, not of us. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 of this chapter says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not." We are not discouraged. So point number one is we have an incredible, indescribable gift. And because of that gift, we can't get discouraged this year. So no discouragement. Okay. All right, no discouragement. We just want happy babies. No discouragement. "For which cause we faint not." We're not discouraged. "But though our outward man is perishing," we just saw that earlier, our clay vessels, our earthen vessels are aging, like fine wine, though. Okay, so the outward man is, you know, it's decaying, but the inward man is really renewed. It's afresh. It's ready to go day by day. That's why the excellency of the powers of God, not of us, through his Holy Spirit. "For our light affliction," this momentary affliction, which is called our lives. Our lives. I mean, when you a lot of times, you got the little, one of the things that is okay. The Jews, Gentile, Church of God. We've got the entire earth. We've got a little circle of Jews. And then we got Gentiles, everybody else. Well, in the scope of things, it's like that. This, our lives, however many years they're going to be, in compared to all eternity, come on. It's a momentary light affliction. And with God with us, we can at least have our priorities straight, as we're going to find here in a moment. So our momentary light affliction worketh or produces for us a far more exceeding heavy weight of glory. The word for weight, there's actually a word that means heavy weight. So we have light affliction today, but we're going to have a heavy weight of glory in the future. Much better. That's what's coming. A glorious heavy weight. So we can deal with the momentary light affliction. That's producing While, and here's how, again, verse 18. While we look, the word look is focus. While we focus not at the things which are seen, which is the things in the world, which actually, you know, also deals with the manifestation. We can see, we can hear speaking in tongues, we can see healing. It's even bigger than all of that. While we focus not at the things which are seen, but we focus on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I brought this because I mentioned this last week, and this pretty much shows you how large the New Jerusalem is going to be. Roughly 1,377 miles in a rectangle all the way across, which pretty much takes up a whole bunch of the country to give you a perspective of how big just the New Jerusalem is. So here. Okay, so those are things that we can't see today, but that's coming. A lot of great, new spiritual bodies, a wonderful, great thing that's going to be there. These new satin robes or whatever, they're going to be great robes in which we get to hang out with or something. And then the big horses we get to ride on and all these other things. A lot of great, wonderful things the Bible talks about. And can you imagine what the food's going to be like for all eternity? Muy bueno. Or wait, it's supposed to be Italian, right? Okay. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. So, what are we focusing on? The things that are not seen. All right. 2 Corinthians 6:14. We read, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers then. You'll want to start having problems. Get yourself unequally yoked with an unbeliever. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. Be different than the world. Be separated out from the world. Come out from among them. Don't be unequally yoked with them." And we're going to see why in a moment, says the Lord. "Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you." If you're going to pick your father, God being the father is the one to pick. That's the right choice. "And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." God Almighty, who supplies, defends, protects, takes care of us, says, "I'm your father. Don't mess with my kids." Now, we go to Jude, right before the book of Revelation. There's only one chapter there. So go to the third chapter. All right, Jude, we're going to look at verse 17 because we're going to see why we shouldn't be unequally yoked. We're going to see why we shouldn't be of the world. We're going to see where our priority should be, but we're going to start in Jude 17, and we're going to see in Jude 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." That's from the time of Pentecost on. Has there been mockers? Well, yeah, we know that from the day of Pentecost. In Acts, there were mockers there. It tells us that. Are there mockers today? Yes, sure. Yes, many, many, many mockers today. And here's what these people are like. They're going to walk after their own ungodly lusts. The mockers of God and the things of God walk after their own ungodly cravings. "These be they who separate." This word "separate" means cause divisions. "These be they who cause divisions." We've never seen any division in the world. These are the people that cause divisions. "They're sensual." You know what that means? Of the senses, by nature. They are body and soul people only. They do not have the spirit. They only go by the senses. So these are characteristics. They walk after ungodly cravings, but they do walk. They mock the things of God. They're very much dealing with the senses, having not the Spirit. They do not have the Spirit from God. This indescribable gift that we have that communicates us, that makes God as our Father, and all the great things that come with the Spirit, they don't have it. So that's why we should be equally yoked. No, because they're going to do, go to 1 John. They're going to cause divisions because of their own cravings, because of their own ungodliness, because of their love of this world. 1 John 2, can we go back to page or two? And in 1 John 2, verse 15, puts it in even more perspective for us. 1 John 2:15, love the world. You got to read what's written. Love not the world, neither love the things that are in the world. Does this all fall into the things that are seen? Yes, the world is seen. All right, we got Google Earth. The world is seen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, all that's in the world, the lust or the cravings of the flesh, the cravings of the eyes, and the pride of life is the boastful arrogance. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world, guess what? It gets what it deserves. It's going to pass away because it doesn't know God. And the lust thereof, and he that does or makes a practice of the will of God will abide forever. And that's us. We want to continue to make a practice of the will of God. So, those who we are not to be unequally yoked together cause divisions. They do not have the Spirit of God. They love the world. And what entices them is the lust, the cravings of the flesh, the cravings of the eyes, the boastful arrogance. We don't know any man like that. Back in the day, a guy named Pete Rose, you may have heard of him. Okay. He became a free agent. So what he did is he made a highlight film of himself. All the boastful arrogancies of his greatness, and he shopped it. You know, all over the place. Of course, Philadelphia bit. And he went to play for them. But it was one of those things where I always think of that because it's like, here's me. Here I am. It's all about me. And guess what? It's all going to be destroyed. So we don't need to be concerned because you really can't take it with you, and it isn't going to give us any eternal rewards. So here, instead of being boastfully arrogant, just allowing our natural things of the eyes and of the flesh and all the things that the world goes after, I mean, you know, all these different things, they all have their own TV channels right now. You got the Food Network, you got the, you know, all these things that were, all the things of the world, they got its own TV channel now, the shopping network, all these things, you know. Hey, listen, Tyshe Moore! So, but we go to 1 Corinthians, we're going back to 1 Corinthians, we're going to be in and out of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, because this is going to tell us what we should do if we want to continue to do what our Father wants us to do and continue to go after the things that are not seen. 1 Corinthians 14:1, a familiar verse. It says we are to follow or pursue after charity or love. We are then to pursue the flesh of our eyes. Not the flesh, not the love, all the cravings of the world. No, we pursue love. Love is first. Love is highest. Love is what we're to pursue. Pursue love. And then desire, be a zealot for spiritual matters. There's our focal point, love, and love, and love. Pursue love, and then desire spiritual matters. Those who have that backwards, pursuing spiritual matters, will start doing things outside of love, and they'll start building themselves up. Look how I can operate the great power of God. No Simon the Sorcerer's around here. We follow after love first. It's all based in the category of love, and the spiritual matters will fall in place afterwards. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. So we're seeing that there are two ways to walk in this world. So if you want to be miserable, go after the things of the world this year. Make that your focal point. Forget about love. Who needs that? You will not have a great year. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That sounds like we're to focus on things that are not temporal, things that are eternal. That's what this verse is telling us. Focus on these things. You can't, you just don't know it. We can't. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard it. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. And they're going to be very good. They're going to be very, very good. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, because the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, praise God, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, this indescribable gift, this treasure in our earthen vessel, that we might know then the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that person from Jude, the one from 1 John who just lusts and craves the world, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The only way to get them is they are spiritually examined. And the next verse, the two words, judge, is the same word that deals with examine. But he that is spiritually examines all things, yet he himself is examined of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct the Lord? Can you instruct the Lord? Mary and Martha, that whole record there, Martha tried. Tell my sister to help me. But we have the mind of Christ. Okay. So, again, these people without the Spirit, why would you want to get equally yoked with them? Why do you want to go into business with them? Why do you want to do, we have to because a lot of them are around, that type of thing, type situation. But it's one of those where, what is going to be their goals? We just saw that from 1 John, their goals is the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful arrogance to be somebody in the world. And what do we focus on? We focus on the things of God, the greatness of this indescribable gift that we have. And then we have to go to Matthew 6 to make sure we got our priorities right. We'll just look at a couple verses at the end of the chapter. If you want more information on the chapter, see Assembled Together on YouTube, Matthew teaching from Hawaii, Matthew, Andrew teaching from Hawaii about Matthew 6. So, of course, it's on there again. He taught it on a Wednesday night. It's up there too on Assembled Together. So you get an earlier version of it. So, Matthew 6, end of the chapter, 31. So, we get our priorities right. We just saw from 1 Corinthians we're to pursue love and then desire spiritual matters. Matthew 6, 31, don't take any unnecessary thought. Don't be overly complicated about these things. God's going to provide and other great things of how you want to say, therefore take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? My clothing's really out of style. I like my Nehru jacket and things like that. I know that's really dating.
No.
32. For after all these things do who? The Gentiles, the unbelievers, those who do not have the Spirit of God, they put out a diligent effort to get these things. That's what they're after. That's what they want. And, the marketing companies know that, and they do a good job of marketing that way. So after all those things the Gentiles are seeking, they're going after them, which is why we have television networks and all those. For your heavenly Father has figured life out. He knows that you need food. He knows you need drink. He definitely knows you need clothing. But here is your focal point. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. And all those other things are going to fall into line. They'll all be added unto you. So take, therefore, no thought for tomorrow, because you know what? Tomorrow is going to have a lot of fun in itself. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day, because we are not of this world, has its own fun, has its own problems. You know, before you know it, you're going to shoot yourself in the hand or use your hand to beat something and bust your hand all up or something like that. But we all fall into those categories. Pursue love. All right, go to Romans 8. Those are our priorities. God, if we're in touch with Him, He already has these things figured out. In our culture, you'd add transportation in there too. And sometimes we want the transportation to work a little better and a little sooner and a little quicker and a little cheaper. But that's all part of it too. Romans 8. We start in verse 5. We have a nice dissertation between those who want to live for the world, those who want to live for God. Romans 8, 5. For they that are after the flesh, those who are of this world, those who are by nature, they do mind the things of the flesh. The word mind throughout here is the word, it's phronema, which is for thinking. For they that are after the flesh, they think the things of the flesh. That's what they're concerned about. That's what they care about. That's what their priorities are. That's what they're pursuing. They're pursuing their own lusts that are going to end up causing divisions because it's based on lust, on greed, on cravings, on me first. And we're resolved not to do that. So the thinking of the flesh, for they that have the thinking of the flesh think all the stuff about the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, those who have the gift of Holy Spirit, you know what we think about? The things of the Spirit. All right. So here are the thinking of the flesh versus the thinking of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, for to be thinking of the flesh gets death, which basically means is of no profit. There's no profit to it. Instead, if you want to have a great year, to be spiritually minded, you get life and peace. All right. Door number one has death. Door number two, life and peace. What are you thinking on today? What are you considering? All right, well, there we go. Life and peace. I kind of like life and peace. I kind of like having the Spirit from God. I kind of like having God as my Father who already has provided for us, that He can give us the strength to love. Verse 7 then, because the cardinal mind, it's hostility against God. It has to be. It's of the flesh. God is Spirit. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Is pleasing God a prerequisite for having a good year? Pretty much, that helps. Since God's the one who's going to make sure you have it. That will give us the goodies we need and continue to keep us with peace and life and things like that. So, if we continue just to be concerned about the flesh, now we have to be concerned about it to a degree, but we're not overly, we're taking no unnecessary thought about it. But you, verse 9, are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, which it does. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead, you know, it's decaying, things falling away because of sin. But the Spirit is light and renewed day by day because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Gives us strength daily. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. You're going to have a worthless life. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds, the practices of the body, you're going to live. You put to death all the stuff that deals with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful arrogance. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit of sonship, not adoption, sonship, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father! The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. And if we're children, then heirs. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and boy, what an inheritance. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings, this momentary light affliction of the present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Look at Romans 5. Again, great argument back and forth, and you can see why we don't get unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because all that does is add death to our already living walk, and we've got enough momentary problems to deal with to include that. So, Romans 5:9, a great reminder. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. saved from the wrath to come. And I don't know about you, but I like reading that. You won't have to go through the wrath. And if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. Now, today, we don't have to die and guess we made it or not. We have the reconciliation. We can live for him today. We're saved from the wrath to come. That makes it a joyous year, but let's keep going. James 3. Because James 3 points again and reminds us of the differences between those with the Spirit and those without the Spirit. Those of the world who are just going to be miserable people and want you to be miserable with them. James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above. This kind of wisdom is wisdom of the world. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. That's what you learned in school. That's what they're trying to feed us all the time. Earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, all the world wisdom. It's not from the true God, and it ends up with confusion, envy, strife. Oh, these are all things I want. Oh, I kind of like that peace thing that we saw. You know, verse 16, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion, every evil work. Verse 17, however, the wisdom that is from God, from above, his wisdom, which helps us live daily for him, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's compliant, it's full of mercy, it's good fruits, it's without partiality, it's, you know, without hypocrisy, it's not hypocritical. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You end up with peace. You don't end up with earthly, sensual, devilish. So if that's where your head is all the time, you could be a movie critic then. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Two wisdoms. We see how the world goes after one, and it's not surprising when people are just totally insane in this world, because they have no choice. They don't have the Spirit. They're only, well, this here will help us. 2 Peter chapter 1, we pick it up in verse 2. 2 Peter 1, 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Some days when you get up, that's just the first verse you got to go to. Grace and peace today, God, because I don't feel that great. I don't want it multiplied unto us. How do we get it, though? Through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get to, you know, how grace and peace can be more multiplied to us. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us. Given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The Greek reads, given unto us the precious and greatest things promised have been given unto us. The precious and greatest things promised, the greatest things ever promised, the most precious things ever promised have already been given to us. It doesn't get any better on this earth. Basically is what it's saying. We have already been given the most precious and greatest things that God has promised. We have it, the conclusions, when Christ comes back for us. All right. But if we continue reading, that by those great and precious promises, you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Where is the corruption in this world coming from? Lust, through cravings, through what we just saw in 1 John, the prideful arrogance. My button's bigger than yours. The prideful arrogance. The whole pride of life, the whole eyes, the lusting of the flesh, lusting of what we see, what we can have, and all these other things, that we have escaped. Because you know it leads to corruption. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through the excess cravings of natural men who are only out for themselves and their ratings. Colossians 3. So there we see the good and the bad, back and forth, with spirit, without spirit. And we won because we chose God. And God's like, okay, you're on my team now, I'll take care of you. You want a good year? Stay in the huddle. Keep getting my knowledge. Keep looking to me. I can do things for you. Colossians 3:14, above all these things, again, put on love. Love. Love which is the bond of perfectness, or love which is the uniting bond of maturity. I like that. Love is the uniting bond of charity. Love is the uniting bond of maturity. Love is the mature way of living life. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And then you can allow the peace of God, it's actually the word Christ, and you can allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. You can allow the peace of Christ into your hearts, and it will rule there. To which also you are called in one body, and boy, be so thankful. We got this unspeakable gift. We can be thankful. We got so much to be thankful for. It sure beats being negative and being of the world. Be thankful. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, on key or off key, doesn't matter. Right? You just admonish yourself in psalms and hymns. All right. And spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, and you know what that includes? Whatsoever you do, in word or work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Boy, life is so much better when you thank God instead of being complained to God. Not that God won't listen to your complaints, but he likes it better as you know, you're being thankful. Okay, so closing encouragement verses, Psalm 37. Got to look at a couple psalms. Then Proverbs, and then Ezekiel backwards. Psalm 37:25. This is always a wonderful verse. Because remember, our outward man is decaying, getting older. But God in Psalm 37:25 tells us, I have been young and now I'm getting older. I'm not quite going to get old. I have been young and now I'm getting older. Yet, throughout our entire lives as being somebody who stands for God, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've seen little kids begging cookies, but, you know. Again, there's not a time limit on the goodness of God. He will take care of you from the old days, from the womb to the tomb. You know, he's got us. Our entire life, every aspect of our entire life, from being young to being older, if the Lord tarries. He's always there. Look at Psalm 50:50. No time limit on the greatness and goodness of God. So this year can be wonderful. All right, Psalm 50, we pick it up in verse 14. So what do? We offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. So God's going, I will deliver you, and then you glorify me. And you can talk to me on the day of trouble. Well, which day is the day of trouble? Almost every day in the world can be. It's not just only reserved for one day a year. He's with us all the time. So we offer unto God thanksgiving. We pay our vows to the Most High. That's a great way of just saying, hey, we owe it to God because of what he's done through Christ for us today. So pay your vows to the Most High. He enjoys us. He enjoys your company. And in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We have that inner joy of being born again, of being delivered, of being saved. So remember the joy when you know that you knew that you knew, and the first time you spoke in tongues and all the other stuff, when you recognized it rather than just being scared to death of it. That type of thing. The joy, restore unto me the joy of salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Free spirit. We didn't earn it. It's a free spirit to us. Praise God. And we close in Proverbs 15 as a great reminder. 15:13. Because the world is going to be totally destroyed. It's going to get what it deserves. And we're going to be with new spiritual bodies in heaven, seated in the heavenlies with God, enjoying life. And looking back on this momentary affliction and going, why didn't I do more? Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. So smile, be thankful, love, consider the things that are in the future, the things we haven't seen. Instead of sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. We don't want that. We want a merry heart, cheerful countenance. And we close in 17, it's along the same route. 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. But if all you can do is be morbid all day long, you're going to dry the bones. Well, I want to have a little bit of life. So God cares. God has a lot in store for us this year. Enjoy the ride. We know where it ends. So don't get hung up in the world and the things of the world. Enjoy getting hung up in the things of God and the power and the love and the grace we have. So Father, thank you for how much you care. Thank you for your great love and for us continuing to have this gift and to learn more about you and to be able to share it with others in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.